Welcome to the Deeper Daily Broadcast with Pastor Paul White. We hope the good news of God's abundant grace and favor will be daily bread to your soul. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Paul.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Deeper Daily Broadcast. Hope it's been a great week for you. It has been for me, and I've had a good time bringing to you this message all week long. With no delay, I want to continue and also conclude the sermon we started on Monday. It's from a recent Wednesday evening adult Bible study. And by the way, if you're in the Poplar Bluff, Missouri area, you don't have a place to go on the midweek service, we'd love to have you on Wednesday nights. We get into the truths and depths of God's Word. And this message is just another example of that. Let's conclude it. If you missed any part of it, listen at the end how you can get a copy of the whole sermon on one CD, about an hour long, all for your own, and we'll send it to you. It won't even cost you anything. You just contact us and we'll take care of the rest. It's called It's What You Know and Who You Know.
Sweet is often a type of God's grace. Here's your snowflake of grace. Here's a crumbs off the table. You remember Samson, who's a Nazarite from birth, got hair down to his ankles? Puny looking guy, too. He got them little pencil arms. Now, I think he really did, because otherwise, why would you question how he got to be so strong? Right? I don't think he looked like much. And he comes walking down the road one day, and a lion jumps out in front of him, and he just grabs hold of it and tears its head off and throws it over in the bushes. And then he comes back the next week to go pick up his Philistine bride that he went and picked out the week before. And on his way there, the sun has split the carcass open of that lion. And you can imagine the stench. But Samson, because he's a boy, and boys like to go look at stuff that's dead. That's the only reason I can figure he walks over there. Samson walks over to the lion, and he looks in. And what's happened is, in the meantime, the last 7 days, bees have come in and set a hive up in the carcass of that lion. Now, his parents are with him. So Samson reaches down in, beside the lion, and he pulls the honey out, and he eats it, and he takes it back to mom and dad, and he says, here. And they eat. Now, they weren't supposed to do that because Jews weren't to touch dead bodies. But if you notice, God doesn't strike Samson down with a bolt of lightning. Man, there's a good message. We've preached it before, too. You go dig it out. You go dig through your archive notes and figure it out. But you remember, Samson honored covenant. He had 7 locks of hair. And his failure came when he cut off his wrist, not when he touched a lion. All of our failure comes when we cut off our wrist, not when we touch the unclean thing. But that's not the snowflake. That's context to the snowflake. That's the storm cloud before the snowflake. The enemy comes at you roaring like a lion. But in Christ and covenant, you are a victor. And God always brings sweet out of your attack. You notice that? The enemy comes in as an attacker. What's God bring out of your attack? Sweet. You got problems? You got issues? God brings sweet out of the midst of trouble. Praise God. Praise God. And he does it for his covenant children. You're his covenant child. Taste and see. The Lord is good. Taste and see. Jesus is good. Be full of the Spirit, and your consciousness of Christ will increase. And when that happens, you're going to know more of God's love. Remember what Paul said in Ephesians when he said, be ye filled with the Spirit? And the reason Paul said that, he doesn't say, go get filled. He says, be ye filled. Go get filled denotes an action. I got to go, and a lot of us Pentecostals preach to be ye filled as go get filled. So we had told people to go get filled. And so we had them pray in prayer lines and laying hands on them and all that. Go get filled. Paul wants you to be so full of the Spirit. How? Allow the Holy Spirit to bring Christ consciousness into you. The more Christ consciousness is in you, the more you notice the Spirit bubbles up in you. That's you being filled. That's not going and getting filled. That's being filled. You understand? And as you become Christ, I don't like the phrase God conscious, because that's a new age. Punch in God consciousness on Google and watch how many new age websites pop up. But Christ conscious is different, because Christ conscious pulls you to Jesus. I want you to be Christ conscious, to know of Christ and his loveliness. We got time to hit Hebrews 10 real fast. Now, this is a text, you know, church. I'm not going to act like you haven't seen this many, many times, but I do believe in the last few years, this became one of my favorite passages to help me illustrate the difference in what it means to be conscious of my sin and be conscious of my Savior. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, for the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. The Greek word is complete. So what's the apostle saying? Every time they offered a sacrifice under the law, it was a shadow of a substance. The law was a shadow. What was the substance? The cross. Jesus. So what they were trying to do was they were operating under a shadow, but it didn't make them better people. In other words, though they performed, they didn't notice a heart change. They come in nasty and they'd leave nasty. You know, they come in sour and leave sour. They come in lustful and leave lustful. Nothing changed. They offer the lamb, but nothing changed. Verse 2. If it had made them perfect, would they not have ceased to be offered? Because if the worshipers were once purged, should they have had no more conscience of their sins? Look at this. If it had did what it was supposed to do, they wouldn't have to offer another one. Because they would stop thinking about their failures all the time. Now, just in case we're not sure what verse 2 means, thank God the writer gives us verse 3. Which says, but in those sacrifices, there's remembrance again made of sins every year. The word remembrance, it's the same word Jesus uses when he says, as often as you do this, I mean in the Greek, not just in the English, but in the Greek, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. In other words, every time they offered a lamb, they had to get intimate with their sin consciousness to do it. The only way to truly offer the bullock was to be intimate with their sin consciousness. But the problem is, verse 4, it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away their sins. Wherefore, when he comes into the world, who's he? Christ. When he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and an offering you don't want, but a body you prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you didn't have any pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it's written of me, to do your will, O God. And then he repeats that in 8 and 9. 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, how much? Once for all. Why once for all? Because every time we come back about sin, 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 guess what we're remembering? Not our Jesus, not his loveliness, not his forgiveness, not his great gift. But we're remembering our failure, and most people in America call that a good revival. Because everybody knows how bad they are. Boy, we're going to have a move of God. Hey, have you noticed? We don't have a move of God. We have a move of self. We have a move of stuff. We have a move of emotion. It makes people shout, and it makes them cry, and it makes them run, and it makes them lay on altars for a long time, but it doesn't make anybody live any better. Why? Because it'll never make the comers thereunto perfect. It can't. The more you remind them of their failure, the more they're reminded that they're a failure. And we've been taught that if you remind people they're a failure, it'll make them look to Jesus. It can't. They're too busy looking at their failure. We're not outside of the book. This is Hebrews 10. This has been here from 2 millennia. But why do we need the Holy Ghost in us to remind us of this? Because it's so easy to forget this when our eyes get plucked out and we stop feeding on the loveliness of Jesus and the finished work becomes the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 10th most important thing in our lives. And our word's not important, and knowing our Father's not important, and oh, we're grace believers, so we can do whatever. And if that's still you, you still have never yet met Jesus and understood the power of His grace and His favor. And it's why we go back over that theme every time, over and over and over again, and I'm convinced that we're somewhere close to the right track. Because if God put the Holy Ghost in you to remind you of forgiveness of sins, it must be why He keeps having me remind you of forgiveness of sins. And Paul said, you've been given this great gift, but it took the Holy Spirit to show you this great gift. Please, church, let us never forget our sins are gone. You ask me why I'm happy. So I'll just tell you now, because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I'll say, my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross at Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. I like that. In the sea of God's forgetfulness. You know, there's no, There's no verse in the Bible. I've heard people cut that song down because there's no sea of God's forgetfulness. Now, don't get caught up making a song too theological, but just enjoy the beauty of the sound. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you now. Because my sins are gone. And you ought to remember that every day, every day. Why am I so happy? Blessed is the man who learns to taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. And when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I'll say, all my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross at Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. And in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Praise God. If you know my Jesus, all of your sins are gone. All of your sins are gone.
He loves me. His grace surrounds me. Mercy's flowing from me. The blood of Calvary is still flowing.
Concludes the message by myself, Pastor Paul White. From a recent Wednesday night, we titled it, It's What You Know and Who You Know. And I'm sure if you listened in this week, you realize that the basic heartbeat of this message was getting us to open our spiritual eyes to see God's greatest gift. And God's greatest gift is the gift of forgiveness, the forgiveness of sins. And so I hope that we brought that to light in a beautiful way. And if that be the case, I believe you've been blessed. And if you have been and you'd like the rest of this message all on one CD, contact us here at the ministry and ask for it by this title. It's What You Know and Who You Know. Both of those things are very important. They're all encompassed in one message, What You Know and Who You Know. If you call or email, please be sure and leave your name and your full mailing address.
Thank you for joining us for the Deeper Daily Broadcast. To order products mentioned in today's program, write us at Paul White Ministries, P.O. Box 985, Poplar Bluff, Missouri 63902, or call us at 573-686-2414. To order online, visit our website at www.paulwhiteministries.org. May God's abundant grace and favor be with you in Jesus' lovely name.